Hello, and welcome to this podcast by the AAT. My name is Tim Buss. I'm going to be talking about VAT on goods in the European Union. The important point, first of all, is that I'm talking about goods and transactions in goods, not transactions in services. Services have their own particular and special rules, and there will be another podcast relating to services in the European Union. Goods received in the UK by UK businesses from suppliers in other member states are known as acquisitions. Provided the customer gives their UK VAT number to the supplier will not charge local VAT. So, for example, if a UK business purchases goods from Germany and gives their UK VAT number to the German supplier will not charge German VAT. That is not the end of the matter, though, because the UK business has to account for UK VAT under a self-assessed system. The VAT self-assessed is known as acquisition VAT and has to be included on the VAT return in box 2. It's then added to normal output tax payable and is paid to HMRC. Provided the goods are purchased for the purpose of a business, though, the business can recover the self-assessed VAT in box 4, the input tax box, on the VAT return. So the net effect is a nil payment to or from HMRC. There is statistical information which has to be provided in addition to the acquisition VAT. These are known as intrastat returns, and they have to be submitted if the value of acquisitions in a calendar year exceeds a threshold, which is currently 660,000. Where goods are supplied by UK businesses to businesses in other member states, then no VAT is charged, provided the UK supplier obtains the VAT registration number of his or her customer. The VAT registration number obtained must be included on the invoice. If a VAT number is not obtained, then UK VAT has to be charged. If the supply of goods is to an unregistered customer or private individual, then UK VAT has to be charged. It is only the submission and inclusion of the VAT registration number on an invoice which enables the supplier to zero rate, i.e. not charge VAT, on that invoice. In a similar way to acquisitions, there is a form for providing statistical information to HMRC on goods supplied to businesses in other member states, known as dispatches. The threshold over which the returns have to be submitted is where the value of dispatches in a calendar year is more than 250,000. In addition to the statistical information, there is a system of EC sales lists which have to be submitted quarterly. There is no threshold for submission of sales lists. Any one transaction in a VAT period will trigger an EC sales list. The EC sales list is submitted quarterly and is just a record of VAT registration numbers of customers and the value of goods supplied to each customer. In order for zero rating to apply, as well as the VAT registration number on the invoice, there must be a proof of movement, i.e. the supplier must retain proof that the goods have been delivered from the UK to another member state. The proof can take various formats, but is normally commercial documentation, such as order, invoice, packing list, and official evidence, such as shipping documents and airway bills. There are some special requirements, one of which is known as distance selling. Distance selling is where supplies are made to private individuals or non-VAT registered persons in other member states, and the supplier is responsible for delivery. Typically, distance selling would apply to mail order firms. Each member state has a turnover threshold, and once that threshold has been breached, a supplier has to register for VAT in the country concerned. For instance, Germany has a threshold of 70,000 euros per year. If a UK business supplies goods to private individuals in Germany, then up to £70,000 a year, they will charge UK VAT. But if in a calendar year the 70,000 euros is breached, then they must register for German VAT and charge German VAT to customers. Similar thresholds apply in all member states. The transfer of own goods to another member state is a supply for VAT purposes. For instance, if stocks are sent from the UK to be held in a warehouse in France, even though the UK business retains ownership of the goods until they're sold, there is a supply for VAT purposes. What that means is that the UK business has to register for VAT in France and use its own French VAT number to zero rate the goods. There has to be an internal invoice between the UK business and its French arm using the French TVA number or VAT number to zero rate the particular invoice. When goods are sold from stock in France, then the business has to account for French TVA. These are generally known as consignment stocks. There is another system where goods may well be held in other member states, but they're known as call-off stock. In other words, they're held for the convenience of the customer. For instance, a UK business has a stock of goods in Spain, which are for the purpose of one particular Spanish customer. The Spanish customer can just call off the stock as and when necessary. In this case, normal rules apply, and the business can use the Spanish customer's VAT number to zero rate the invoice, which are issued each time the Spanish customer calls off the stock. There are special rules for supply and install goods. For example, if equipment is actually supplied to a customer in another member state and that supplier installs the goods in that particular member state, the place of supply is where the goods are installed, and special rules apply to dictate where and how VAT is charged. As the place of supply is the place where the goods are installed, the VAT hits in that particular member state. Therefore, this can mean that, say, a UK supplier installing goods in France has to register for VAT in France and charge French VAT to the customer. This obviously is very cumbersome, and there are simplification procedures. Under the simplification procedure, provided, in my example, the French customer is registered for VAT in France, then the French customer accounts for VAT on behalf of the UK supplier by a process known as the reverse charge. Under the reverse charge, the customer charges French VAT to him or herself and accounts for that VAT as output tax to the French authorities. He or she then recovers the self-generated VAT charge as input tax from the authorities on the same VAT return. It obviously avoids the UK supplier having to register for VAT. There are two issues with the simplification procedure. Firstly, not all member states have adopted the procedure. For instance, the Republic of Ireland has not adopted the simplification procedure, and so any business supplying and installing goods in the Republic of Ireland would have to register for VAT. About 10 of the member states have adopted simplification, so if you have a client or advising in that area, then you need to check whether simplification operates. The second criteria is, of course, that in order for simplification to be adopted, the customer has to be registered for VAT in that particular member state. If the customer is a private individual or non-business entity and is not registered, then simplification cannot operate, and the UK supplier has to register for VAT and charge local VAT on the supply and installation of the goods. So far, I have discussed areas where there are only two parties in the supply chain, i.e. a supplier and a customer. But there are occasions where there are more than two parties in the chain. There can be a supplier, a customer, and an agent arranging the supply. For intra-EU supplies of goods, there is a special arrangement known as triangulation, which is a simplification measure which avoids the third party having to register for VAT. The rules avoid the middle person in the chain registering for VAT in another member state. If goods are delivered from one EU member state to another, the intra-EU acquisition rules, in principle, take place in the EU member state where the transport of the goods ends. However, where the three parties are established or registered in different EU member states, the acquisition is deemed to take place in the EU state which issued the VAT registration number under which the transaction takes place. The acquisition will not be subject to VAT under the normal rules, provided that the acquirer in the second member state establishes that he has effected an intra-community acquisition for the purpose of subsequent supply in the third member state, and for which the final purchaser has been designated as liable for VAT, and the obligations for declaration have been fulfilled by the acquirer. As an example of how triangulation works, let's take the case of a supplier in Spain supplying goods to a customer in Germany, but at the behest of a UK intermediary. The goods will be delivered from Spain to Germany, but the invoicing will be Spain to UK and UK to Germany. Normally, the UK intermediary would have to register for VAT in the country of the customer, i.e. Germany. To avoid this, triangulation is used. Under the procedure, the UK intermediary can give his or her VAT number to the supplier in Spain so that the Spanish supplier can zero-rate the goods. The goods are sent to the customer in Germany and the German customer accounts for acquisition VAT. The UK intermediary invoices his German customer but is able to zero-rate the goods using the German customer's VAT number. I mentioned briefly that as well as accounting for VAT as acquisition VAT or zero-rating dispatches, suppliers and customers have obligations to report statistical information. All suppliers providing goods to customers in other member states have to submit what's known as an EU sales list. The sales list has to be submitted quarterly and will include the following information: the VAT identification number of the supplier, the VAT identification number of the customer, and the total value of goods supplied to each customer in other member states. There's also a coding system, which is code 1 for normal transactions and code 2 for triangulation transactions, i.e. the simplification measure mentioned earlier. Some suppliers and customers have to provide what's known as Intrastat information. This is statistical information which takes the place of the old import and export entries. The declaration is a monthly return which is intended to provide trade statistics. The declarations have to be submitted if sales or purchases exceed a stated threshold. Currently, 250,000 for dispatches and 660,000 for arrivals. The limit applies separately to goods dispatched and received, so a business may have to submit declarations for sales but not for purchases, or vice versa. The declaration is due by the end of the month following the month to which the declaration relates. The information required on the declarations are delivery terms, the nature of the transaction, whether it be a sale or hire, the net mass in kilograms, supplementary units for certain commodity codes, and the country to which the goods were sent to or came from. As I've just said, information is required by commodity code. Deciding the correct code is not always easy. Codes are listed in Intrastat classification nomenclature, available on the website www.uktradeinfo.com or the tariff classification helpline run by HMRC on 01702 366 077. I hope this podcast has been useful and you gained some information from it. There is more detail available in various HMRC publications, and from time to time there is a CPD master course on intra-EU supplies of goods, which may be worth attending. Thank you.